Christmas Hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by Farrah.com. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? National.
18 years ago today, this entire country and arguably the entire world changed because of a bunch of cowardly Islamic extremist terrorists who wanted to punish us because of our way of life, because of our Western culture. They didn't win. It didn't stop us. We are thriving. They're not. And so today we decided to take a moment out of our day to remember the lives that were lost and the way these terrorist acts of September 11th shaped our entire way of thinking. The president spoke at one of the ceremonies today.
To each of you, the First Lady and I are united with you in grief. We come here in the knowledge that we cannot erase the pain or reverse the evil of that dark and wretched day. But we offer you all that we have, our unwavering loyalty, our undying devotion, and our eternal pledge that your loved ones will never, ever be forgotten.
So now to the controversy. Although it's controversy that has nothing to do with Donald Trump. The controversy has to do with something that happened earlier today with Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. They held a brief ceremony on the steps of the House today, but only about 100 members of Congress actually were there to observe the moment of silence. And that essentially means, about over 300 weren't there. And so that angered some folks, including Whoopi Goldberg and Meghan McCain, who railed against it on The View today.
Well, this is going to be slightly annoying to everybody because not everyone is honoring moments of silence. Apparently, only 26% of House members showed up to the moment of silence on the steps of the Capitol this morning.
Shameful.
And you know, we don't know why folks weren't there. We don't know why they weren't there.
Uh-huh.
But this might not have been the right day. To screw around with the optics. I'm just saying. You know, this is a moment that affected everyone in this country,
okay.
Not just New Yorkers.
Agreed.
They came for America, hit us here first, and then went other places to take us, try to take us down. That affected many more people than just us here. And this is an American issue. And every one of you people, every one of you should be out there honoring what you didn't have to do that they did.
So I can certainly appreciate and respect the passion behind it. I agree that we should be spending some time of our day in however way we can to remember the victims and what happened 18 years ago. But let's be clear. There were members of Congress at other ceremonies. There were districts that were directly impacted by the terrorist attacks, not just in a national sense, but in a local sense. Folks were at other ceremonies. Now, if you've got a specific person who you found out, maybe a congressperson, senator, who was drinking Bloody Marys with some lobbyist at some, you know, club, some bar, some restaurant in D.C., okay, we can certainly have that conversation and let's all shame that individual. But something tells me that folks were doing other things that had everything to do with remembering what happened on September 11th. So that feels like a weirdly contrived controversy to me. Now, at the same time, Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor, got in some trouble today, also because of quote-unquote bad optics. And I happen to agree that it's bad optics. He went on to his Twitter feed. He posted a video there showing cops being disrespected. Cops being disrespected by protesters because we were supposed to, quote unquote, never forget. But it showed a whole bunch of examples of progressive protesters calling cops out at a rally that kind of looks like it's about to turn into a riot. Now, there were a lot of really bad hot takes about this video. Is, oh, Giuliani's promoting a police state. I can't, but this is what the gazpacho police would do. It's what the gazpacho police would do. What Giuliani's got. This is disgusting. Ma'am, it's Gestapo and no. It's shut up. That's what I said. I don't believe that. That's ridiculous. I happen to really like the video. I thought it was really powerful. However, you probably should not put that up on 9/11, because then it makes it inherently political, and it doesn't need to be political today. We don't have to be political. Now, I get that people get political on days like this. We don't have to. We can let them do it. So when it happens on our side, when it's happening from someone who is a prominent figure on the right, we should call it out. I don't like the timing of this. I don't agree with the progressive hot takes, but I can still call this out as the nonsense that it was on the day that it came out. I expect Rudy Giuliani, for everything that he personally experienced and went through on 9/11, I expected him to have a little bit more of a non-political take on remembering the victims. And then finally, the New York Times tweeted out an op-ed, and in the text of the tweet, it said, 18 years have passed since airplanes took aim and brought down the World Trade Center. Today, families will once again gather and grieve at the site where more than 2,000 people died. They deleted that tweet. They deleted that tweet because people pointed out a very obvious problem. Number one, I mean, technically, yes, more than 2,000 people died, but 2,977 people died. So that's more closer to 3,000, not simply a little over 2,000, which is the implication you get when you read that. So you're diminishing and demeaning a lot of lives that were lost. But push that aside, can we be clear about something? Airplanes didn't kill anybody. It says 18 years have passed since airplanes took aim. No. Airplanes didn't take the aim. Islamic extremist terrorists took the aim. They're the ones responsible. It wasn't the pilots. It wasn't just planes that decided to act out in a terroristic way on its own. It was very specific to people. This almost read to a lot of people like some people did some things, meaning you're purposefully keeping information away. And the New York Times and other woke outlets really like to do that. They don't like to call out the terrorists for what they are. They won't call them Islamic extremist terrorists. They won't mention their religion because they believe that that stereotypes people. I reject that. I don't think it stereotypes people. I don't think all Muslims are terrorists. I don't think everyone who believes in any particular religion is defined by a group of crazy people who act out in ways that they're not supposed to. I think there's clearly a problem in certain regions having to do with certain characteristics, like their Muslim Islamic beliefs, that are shared, that should be of concern. But I certainly don't think that the average Muslim person is a bad person, no more than I think the average white 17-year-old kid is more likely than someone else to become a mass shooter. It's ridiculous. We're adults. We can figure this all out, even if they don't think it's woke to point it out. So the New York Times ended up tweeting it and then deleting it. And they've had a history of doing that in this particular week. They've been going out of their way, it seems, to make these kinds of mistakes. I'll use a word that they love to use. It's problematic, to say the least. 1-800-465-8777 if you want to send me a text message on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text messages. Make sure you tell me where you're from and your name so I can give you a shout out when I read your text. 1-800-465-8770. We did just get a text from the 253. On 9/11, I was stationed at Fort Lewis and signing out on leave. The transfer to Hawaii, I got on I-5 from Lakewood southbound, waited 3.5 hours to get on the base because we were at threat con Delta. I haven't missed the morning news since. Lots of people have stories like that. Everyone knows exactly where they were when this happened. And don't forget, later on in the show, 5:45, so a little more than an hour from now, we're going to give a tribute to the victims and the heroes of United Flight 93. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter. Text the keyword Twitter to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link directly so you can just push it and then give me a follow. But not just me. You can follow Ben Shapiro, Michael Medved, and of course, our morning show host, Saul Spady. Text the keyword Twitter to 1-800-465-8770 or just fire up your Twitter app. Search for the screen name Jason Rants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the east side?
So the Mercer Island cougar craze isn't going away. And here's my guess, producer Peyton. I think everyone made the same mistake I did initially, thinking that Mercer Island freshman college students were under threat of cougars sort of hanging out in bushes and trying to jump on them and start romantic relationships. And once they realized that they were literally talking about the animal, the cougar, no one wanted to be all like, oh, my bad, we should move on. So they had to just lean in and take it exceptionally seriously. That is my thesis.
That's a nice thesis.
Right? I mean, I feel like that's so, more likely than not to have happened.
So you feel like you are one with the Mercer Island people?
Oh, well, obviously.
Okay.
These are my people.
These are your people.
Of course. So obviously, no, it was not an older woman who was seeking to have a sexual romantic relationship with a college student. It was an actual cougar sighting that they had. But let's be clear, because the Mercer Island reporter is saying there were only two confirmed sightings that came out of the 29 calls of service regarding the cougar. The total number, they say, includes 3 possible sightings, 17 unconfirmed reports, and 7 citizen calls requesting an update on the cougar situation. And so they may not actually have a cougar situation on Mercer Island. You've got a lot of people freaked out looking for something to do. I mean, Mercer Island, not necessarily known for being this high-paced environment where lots of crime and mystery and adventure can happen. It's kind of chill. That's why they live on Mercer Island. And so when you've got the idea of a cougar, all of a sudden you see a little cat about 2 blocks away. You're like, I mean, it could be a cougar. Let me call it in. And so the cops are taking it seriously. Fish and Wildlife are taking it seriously. They haven't really seen any evidence that the cougar's been there, but this is my favorite part. According to the Mercer Island reporter, they say, if police saw the animal, they were advised to chase it up a tree until it could be moved to a more suitable location. We're asking cops to chase a cougar up a tree and not immediately shoot it so it doesn't kill them? I know cops want to serve their community. We are big supporters of the police. They put on that uniform. They do amazing work wherever it is they serve. They already have to do a whole bunch of other stuff. They're essentially going to need to be therapists to some of these folks. They have to be social workers to some of these folks. Can we not have them chase cougars up a tree? Which, by the way, has never been in any of the guidelines of how to deal with cougar sightings. Usually, I'm told we're supposed to get really, really big and make noise and kind of scare it off and never turn your back to the cougar, walk away, making eye contact. I feel like you shouldn't chase a cougar up a tree. Again, call me crazy. You can call me crazy. But maybe let's not have cops do that. Just shoot it. Just shoot it right in the head. Because it's dangerous, right?
You should be a chief of police.
I should be. I've been offered many positions to work for police. I mean, they've all been on air. And so when Steve Mylette, Bellevue PD chief, or Carmen Best, Seattle PD chief, ended up offering me those jobs and asking me to sign up, it might have been just a bit. But in my head, they want me to take over. Not necessarily their jobs, but of course, if you are to hire me to work for any of these police departments, I'm going to immediately try to, you know, take your job. You're listening to The Jason Rance Show. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Wait, what?
A local attorney says he's going to sue the Seahawks and CenturyLink Field for discrimination. His name is Conrad Reynoldson. He bought 5 wheelchair accessible seats for the preseason game against the Raiders. I was at that one. It was not a good game. It wasn't a good game. He says as the rain started to come down, oh, what a sucker. I was in the suite. I was in a suite enjoying the game. And by enjoying the game, I meant just eating some of the catering and not really paying attention to the game. And I was live tweeting stuff that had nothing to do with the sport. But this sucker was actually on the field getting wet. And he's all like, well, I've got a motorized wheelchair. I'm scared it's going to short circuit. So he ends up asking if his group could move to a covered section because he said there were a lot of open seats. Now, he said that after a long while, staff allowed him and one other person to move despite, again, him saying they've got enough space for everybody.
It wasn't until, I think, about the seventh person that I spoke with that we finally got moved and that I was, made to be separate from the rest of my party.
So he argues that they failed to provide reasonable accommodations as required by law.
Eventually, they did say that they would go back and get them, but then they never did. And so they were out in the rain waiting for me, and we never did end up getting to sit together.
With all due respect, I don't know what he's asking for is reasonable. Now, he assumes that those seats were open. He doesn't know if they were actually sold and someone maybe was late or didn't show up. But let's say that they were incredibly late. And clearly, the folks who work there don't know if those seats are sold. Giving them away to other people to accommodate their request, that's problematic if those people show up. What are they supposed to do? So now we're supposed to have the staff members show up to this dude and say, sorry, you're out. Kick you out of the seat. No. You bought 5 wheelchair accessible seats. You're the only one, at least as far as I can tell, that required a wheelchair. Now, I understand you wanted to be with your friends. That makes total sense. But I don't think it's reasonable to ask if you have to be moved to move the entire party. So you say 5. Well, what if it was 10? What if it was 20? What if it was 30? Is it reasonable to ask everybody to move? At some point, I think the business is all like, look, we're giving you access to this seat, which is what you paid for, which is a special accommodation. I understand that you think you're worried that it's raining, but you also live in Seattle. You know that it rains here. You should have come prepared for that. You chose not to. We're accommodating you and a friend because we don't want to put you out. We don't want you to be alone in this other section. So we're moving 2 of you and 1 other person. That seems reasonable to me. This seems either a money grab, which I don't know if that's what it is, because he hasn't announced a lawsuit yet. He just said he's going to sue. So we don't know if he's doing this to make money or if he's doing this for some kind of change. I don't know what the change would be. Now, again, I'm not a lawyer, although I did read a law book once. I took Con Law 101 when I was in college, and I watched every single episode of The Practice when it was on ABC. So I'm almost an expert. I don't know if what he's asking for would be deemed a reasonable accommodation. But that's just me. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Pierce County?
So a student was arrested this morning after a gun scare at Mount Tahoma High School. It freaked a lot of people out, completely understandably. Tacoma Public Schools spokesperson Dan Vopel says to our sister station, Kyle Radio, that a student saw another student bring a gun onto the campus this morning. He ends up going to an official to alert them. That prompted a lockdown, and the police were called.
The student in question and 2 others fled campus, and the police department apprehended them several blocks from the campus.
So Tacoma Police spokesperson Loretta Cool confirms that one of the 3 kids had a gun. They say a 4th student was later contacted, and that student was arrested on felony charges, and that the gun was stolen. This kid also apparently has a criminal history that includes a previous robbery charge. So Vopel says, good thing is no shots were fired, no one was hurt.
We promote it everywhere we can so that anyone in our schools and in our community who hears of a threat against any of our schools should immediately report it to 911. The police department has committed that they will follow up immediately on all those reports.
See something, say something. It actually works. Now, I know that could be controversial to some folks who believe that you might be stereotyping individuals and profiling them. Okay, throw caution to the wind. Make sure you're doing it in a smart way. And if you're legitimately suspicious of something, you should 100% make the call. Now, at the same time, I heard from a Tacoma cop friend today that they're really having a significant gang problem there. It is growing. And I'm wondering if due to the age of the kids involved here, the fact that the gun was stolen, the fact that at least this one kid had criminal history that includes a robbery charge, I don't look at this and think of a school shooting. I look at this and think this is a gang member who maybe intended to do some sort of harm on campus, but more than likely he probably just had a gun. So I look at it in a slightly different way, and I'm wondering what exactly is going on in Tacoma right now to go up against the gang issues there. What is the mayor of Tacoma doing? What is Victoria Woodard's doing on this? Because I hear cops wanting to do their jobs, and yet this problem is growing. So I think Tacoma's going to have to try to figure this out, and they're going to have to do it soon. Because luckily in this case, someone spotted the kid with the gun, and they were able to call 911. But that's not always going to happen. And if this kid did in fact mean to do some kind of harm that's maybe gang-related on campus, we're going to be in a world of hurt. 1-800-465-8770. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. And I'll send you a link to my latest blog over at KTTH.com. It's the Jason RANTZ Show.
Snoqualmie, Mercer Island, Des Moines.
This is the Big Local on the Jason RANTZ Show.
Shoreline, Woodinville, Burien.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. Means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Sean Keller, Smiles by Design. Concept, very simple. Media hyper-focused on Seattle. They end up ignoring a lot of the stories you care about most. So we do the opposite. We focus on you, the communities you live in, and we completely ignore the city of Seattle. And we start in Tacoma with some weirdly good news. Shockingly good news. Because it's going to get a lot easier to park around the University of Washington's downtown Tacoma campus. They are doing something you frankly don't see a lot of anywhere in Western Washington. They're adding parking spots. They're adding parking between 17th and 21st Street and Tacoma and Market Street. But that's not all. But wait, there's more. They're also increasing the time you can leave your car in that space. It used to be 90 minutes. Now it's going to be 3 hours because people can't find parking. And when they finally do, if they're a student there, takes more than 90 minutes.
I get a ticket almost every single day because I'm going to be here for more than an hour and a half every single day.
Okay, wait, what? That's... Can I offer a... I'm going to pause this story for a second. Listen to them one more time.
I get a ticket almost every single day because I'm going to be here for more than an hour and a half every single day.
Okay. If you're getting a ticket almost every single day, you should probably Uber to your campus. Now, I'm assuming the parking tickets in Tacoma are just as expensive as the ones that I've received in the Seattle area. That's expensive to have happen every single day. You should at that point save the money and take an Uber or ride the bus. That case, I'm sympathetic to where he's coming from. But unless you're lying to me, this is more of a you problem than it is a Tacoma problem. Now, with that said, there's still clearly a Tacoma problem because there's a lot of growth in this area. And so they decided over at the city, hey, I'm actually going to look into this neighborhood. We're going to study it. We're going to figure out what are the needs of parking for this community. And they concluded that, yeah, people who attend the UW-Tacoma campus, they need more parking time than the traditional 90 minutes or even 2 hours.
There are some days where they're really on top of it. So we have to move it every exactly 90 minutes or else we get a ticket right then and there.
So the city tells Cairo 7 TV that the changes are going to come soon, as early as September 16th. So again, this very rarely happens, so that's awesome. Meanwhile, that dangerous homeless encampment under the 4th Avenue Bridge in Olympia that we've been talking about for the last month or so, it was supposed to be swept up, but now it's not going to be, at least temporarily, all thanks to First Christian Church saying, hey, we'll actually sponsor this particular camp. We've got it covered. The city manager, Steve Hall, doesn't necessarily like the idea of this encampment.
This is perhaps the worst location that I can imagine for a temporary encampment of any kind.
Worst location ever. So let's not sweep it. Let's give it some extra time so this church can step up. Okay, that makes no sense whatsoever, but let's lean in. Let's just go with it for a second. The Reverend Dr. Amy LaCroix with First Christian Church told King 5, oh, we got it. We're confident. We can figure this out.
We want to get the camp stable, and we want it to be safe so that the people who are living there have an opportunity to be stable. I know we can do this, yeah. Okay. I'm very confident that okay. We can do it.
I mean, I know a lot of things, and then it turns out I didn't know it to begin with. I don't want the camp to be stable. I want the camp to go away, and I want the people who are at that camp to get actual meaningful help that's going to put them on a path to success. I mean, is that unreasonable? Because there seems to be some confusion here. The city of Olympia is saying, we just want this to be temporary. The way she's talking about it makes it sound like it's going to be permanent. And in this King 5 piece, here's a direct quote. The church will help them create a system of governance and hold those living there accountable. That makes it sound like they're going to stay there. I don't want them coming up with a system of governance. Maybe they've got the time to run campaigns and be elected the governor or the mayor of this little camp. Put that time and energy into getting a job, into learning the skills that make it easier for you to get a job, to learn the skills that are necessary to go after the root causes of why you might be homeless. How about that? if there's anyone there who needs medical assistance, whether we're talking about mental health or addiction treatment, we should give that to them as well. They're not going to get it if you make it easy for them to stay in this spot that the city acknowledges is the worst possible spot that you can have.
We're not our own community. We're a small part of Olympia's community.
Just real quick, because if you're not your own community, then why are you guys fighting for a system of governance? If you're not your own community, you're just part of the Olympian community. And the Olympian community have said, we need you moved because it's dangerous, not just for you, but for the people around them. Because you are hurting the infrastructure of this bridge. You are trashing the place. And you staying there overnight for months and months and months or years and years and years isn't good for you. And the longer we keep you out there, the harder it is to get you the help that will put you back on that right path. So excuse me, as someone who's part of the community, maybe you should listen to the folks in the community.
We're human beings. We're not any better than anybody else. We're not any worse.
Actually, you're not worse as a human being, but you are in a worse place than your fellow human beings. We are trying to treat you not like an animal, but like a human being. Human beings do not live in squalor and filth, surrounded by their own waste and trash, under a bridge. That's not where human beings live. We want to treat you like a human being, which means getting you out of that situation. Please let us help you.
A lot of people have their demons, and they just need to be worked out. But you need a solid place to stay to learn to get out of that.
Totally agree. They were offered a stable place to stay. They've got encampments that are sanctioned. We have area beds that you can get, but you're choosing not to do that.
My goal is to get not just a handout, but a step up.
Then get away from that camp. Don't set up a system of governance. I don't need to hold folks accountable in the camp. I need to get them out of that camp. And until we do that, you're never, ever, ever going to get on the path that you need to get on so that we can treat you like the human we all acknowledge that you very clearly are. Then finally, another instance of what kind of looks like swatting, and it's happening again in Renton. This is like the third swatting story in Renton we've covered in the last month or so. King 5 says cops were called to a house along Maple Valley Court last night. They were told that shots were fired. That actually didn't happen. But the Renton police had to show up and treat it as if it actually happened. They're saying that this was a case of swatting. Swatting is when someone makes up a fake call of a crime, and it's usually a violent act, a crime that's in progress, to get cops or SWAT teams to show up, weapons ready. And that's what happened here. Because cops showed up, weapons ready. And it was tense. Because they're thinking they're going to actually face a shooter. Ryan Marr's daughter was home alone when it happened. Ryan then talks to King 5 about what she experienced.
She was in the shower and got the call, and she was asked to come outside with her hands up at that time. So, yeah, she's pretty shooken and frightened shaken at the time, but and rightfully so with guns, you know, drawn at you.
Yeah, I feel awful for this woman, and I'm wondering what's behind this, because it's either that these folks are being targeted in this neighborhood for one particular reason, or the city, I suppose, for one reason. Or, and I suspect this is the case, I don't know how many people... Have you heard of swatting before you heard about it on the show?
No, not at all.
Right? I don't know how many people know what swatting is, including children. And my guess is, the more we talk about it, it's putting it in their heads that swatting is funny and they're going to go ahead and do it. Some stupid punk 16 or 17-year-old, or maybe a 63-year-old. I don't know. We don't discriminate here. I'm guessing the coverage is leading to copycats. That's my guess. And it puts us in a kind of a tough spot, and the media in general, because this is clearly newsworthy. People need to know that this is going on, because when you're interacting with cops, you don't want things to be unnecessarily tense, and they're already tense when you're interacting with a cop, no matter what. You're always getting a little bit more tense. So having this story in the back of their minds maybe makes it so that if this does happen to them, God forbid, they react in a slightly more rational way. But also, by talking about it, we're inspiring people. So I don't know what the answer is. We're going to talk about it when it happens, when it's newsworthy, but, we'll, you know, kids, don't be stupid. Don't do this. If you do this, you're not allowed to listen to the show anymore. Now that, I can't think of a worse punishment than not being able to listen to this show.
You would be a stern father.
Oh, please. No kids making a mistake in my home. Straight A's or else. Perfect hair or else.
Those are the top two priorities.
Reverse order. Top hair first. I mean, we got to have the best hair in the class. Kid doesn't come home with a yearbook that says, best hair. We're done. I'm not paying for your college. Get out. I'm going to Europe. I'm not wasting my money on you with that stupid mop on your head. By the way, I got a Dyson hair dryer. The most expensive thing I think I've ever purchased for the size of what it is I got.
Yeah.
It's changed my life.
Really?
It is. You can say this morning you saw my hair. You were like, oh, my God, what are you doing differently? And that's what I was doing.
Oh, wow.
There's no product in this hair. No frizz either, by the way, because of the Dyson hair dryer. Please, 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 Mr. Dyson, sponsor this show.
Yeah, I was going to say, this isn't even a paid, like, advertisement.
No, it's not. Your product, incredibly expensive, worth every penny. But I'd like some sort of compensation for promoting your product. It's seriously, it's life-altering. Again, if you follow me on Instagram, you'll see lots of videos. You saw the videos.
Yeah, my hair wouldn't benefit from that.
You know, because you don't have, like, enough hair. Yours is a buzz cut and a high fade. I've got the high fade, but this volume on top, thanks to the hair dryer by Dyson. They should pay. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to text us. It's a Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. We are live in the Online Trading Academy studio. President Trump today announced that he's going to try and ban flavored e-cigarette products. We've already seen the alert come down that the FDA is trying to get them taken from all of the store shelves. This is a monumentally stupid move, attacking e-cigarette products that should not be attacked.
A lot of people are reading it, but people are dying with vaping. So we're looking at it very closely. And, you know, if nothing else, this is a conference that's going to let people know about it, because people are going to watch what we're saying. And parents are going to be a lot tougher with respect to their children. A lot of people think vaping is wonderful. It's great. It's really not wonderful. That's one thing I think we can say definitely, Commissioner. It's not a wonderful thing. It's got big problems. We have to find out the extent of the problem. It's so new. It's so new.
Okay. It's not that new. I agree it's not wonderful, but understand the context in which e-cigarettes are actually consumed. E-cigarettes are being used by people as a means to get off of cigarettes. Cigarettes are by far way, 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 way worse, times 22,000 worse. That was a random number. I was going to say pie, but I feel like I've used that joke too much this week. Than smoking, or excuse me, vaping on an e-cigarette. Understand the reason why cigarettes are so deadly is not the nicotine. Because nicotine taken by itself in moderation is not dangerous. It's not inherently bad for you unless you've got some underlying issue. It is the burning of the tobacco and the carcinogens that you end up ingesting that is bad for you. And let us also talk about some facts. Because as the president just said here, he's making reference to some of the stories of people who have died and they're trying to tie it to e-cigarette use. Let's be clear. It turns out that in most cases, the deaths happen to people who are buying black market THC vape cartridges with stuff you don't know what's in it. That is different than going to a store and purchasing a Juul cartridge of mint-flavored e-juice. This move is equivalent to banning diet sodas but keeping the full sugar sodas. Diet sodas are not great for you because of the chemicals in it, because it can trigger inside of you an addiction to the sugar that you're trying to avoid. But it's very, 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 very much better than the regular sugar soda. This move makes no sense whatsoever. This move makes no sense other than people are freaking out. People want to treat e-cigarettes the same way as cigarettes because they act a certain way because, quote-unquote, smoke comes out of it. Vape actually comes out, not smoke. And so let's treat it the same way, yet at the same time, they're telling us how deadly all these things are. They're still taxing them and taking money off of them. Washington State, which saw the first potentially vape-related death, although they caution folks that they don't actually know all the details yet, including, by the way, whether or not they were using a store-purchased e-cigarette machine, an e-cigarette device. We don't know yet whether or not they were using a cartridge that would otherwise be banned under this ridiculous move. And why is it that we banned the flavored ones, but not the tobacco one? I'm just kind of curious about that. If they're so dangerous, why don't you ban them all the way? Why don't you ban all cigarettes? Why don't you ban all alcohol? Why don't you ban all sugar? Why don't we go ahead and do this? This is not a conservative move. This is a move of a progressive who thinks they know better than you, who lean into this idea that you can't self-police, that you can't regulate what you put in your own body. You have access to all of the information that you would need to be a smart consumer when it comes to these kinds of things. We have Michael Bloomberg, who wants to get rid of soda nationwide. And all of us on the right, we all said, that's ridiculous, that's crazy. We can figure this out on our own. And yet I hear some people who are thinking this is a good idea, mostly because it's coming from the president. Sorry, the president is 100% wrong on this. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous because a lot of people are going to end up going back to cigarettes, and it's going to kill them. Did no one think for just a moment, for as many years as e-cigarettes have been used, all of a sudden there's a cluster of deaths that are tied to it? You think that this all of a sudden, after years and years and years of use, all of a sudden people are starting to die, and now we're finally learning about that? No. This is very specific that is targeting vape cartridges that are purchased on the black market. I'm willing to bet that in all of the cases we end up getting, including the one here in Washington, it's not simply going to be, oh, you know, every once in a while this guy smokes. He vapes. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH.